All right, let's get started this morning. Our main text is going to be Joshua 7, 2 through 5. And Brian, if you'll get that, DeBloy. Then let's get Genesis 12, 1 and 2. David, if you'll get that, I'm just going to go down. Gabe, if you'll get Deuteronomy 7 and verse 6. Nathan, Matthew 28, 19. Casey Brew, if you'll get 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 9. Antonio, if you'll get Joshua 7 and verse 3. Zach, if you'll get John 15 and verse 5. And then Brian Mitchell, if you'll get for me Joshua 7 and verse 6. That'll be helpful. Augustine was credited with saying this statement that I've heard Pastor Greg reference, Pastor Mitchell reference, numbers of other preachers. And that is, pray as though everything depended on God and work as though everything depended on you. So this is a balanced statement here because there are parts of ministry. And when I say ministry, I'm talking pastoral ministry, involvement in a band, drama, plays, your follow-up. Anything you do for God, that is a ministry. There are parts of it that depend on you. Okay, there's practical things that we do. There's practical planning and preparation, etc. But then there's much of ministry, again, anything you're doing for God, that it depends on God. That there is a supernatural dimension at work. It's not either or. It's not, it's all on me or this one's all on God. It's in harmony with one another. And that statement's very balanced. So in the scripture we're going to look at this morning, this serious man is titled The Mistake at Ai. Joshua has maintained that healthy balance of keeping God involved, seeking supernatural wisdom and insight, God giving them supernatural enablement. But they get to Ai and they do it all on their own strength. That is where they find some problems. So I want to look at this, Joshua 7, verses 2 through 5.
Now Joshua sent the men of Jericho to Ai, and which near Beth Aven to the east of Bethel, and told them, go up and spy out the region. So the men went up and spied out Ai. When they returned to Joshua, they said, not all the army will have to go up against Ai. Send 2,000 or 3,000 men to take it, and do not weary the whole army, for only a few people live there. So about 3,000 went up, and they were routed by the men of Ai, and killed about 36 of them. They chased the Israelites from the city gate as far as the stone quarries and struck them down on the slopes. At this, the hearts of the people melted in fear, and they became like water.
Okay, so the mistake at Ai. Let's talk firstly about the balance. So God has made a decision, and his decision is to accomplish his purposes in the earth through people. Right? At the end of the day, let's be honest, does God really need us? No, he's all-powerful, almighty, he can handle it, but he's made a choice. I want to do my purposes, accomplish my will through people. We know we can go back to Abraham. He was called out and set apart from the world and for God, and it was through Abraham that God began to accomplish his purposes. Genesis 12, 1 through 2.
The Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing.
Okay, so think about this. Here's Abram, later renamed Abraham. God is giving him a vision of his potential. So this is a balance. God calls Abraham. There are things Abraham is going to do in that calling, and there are things God is going to do in that calling. Abraham, you separate yourself from the world. You make decisions. You set yourself on a journey to a place I'm going to show you. You obey my commands. You do your part, and I will. God says, I will bless you. I will make your name great. You will be a blessing. From you will come my people, etc., etc. This is a balance. It's not all Abraham, but it's not all God. Once God's people were established, the children of Israel, now the people of God, carried out God's will in the earth. Let's read Deuteronomy 7 and verse 6.
For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth.
Okay, a holy people. Again, a set apart people. Now he's not just talking to Abraham, or he's not just talking to, in this case, to Moses or leadership. He's talking to the people as a whole. As a whole, you are set apart, a special treasure. And Deuteronomy, we understand here is Exodus. They leave Egypt. Leviticus, the Levitical law, Deuteronomy, the final sermons before they go into the promised land. All of this is at work, and God is repeating the same thing. There are things you are going to do as a people, and there are things I am going to do that enable you. So this is what we see happening in our scripture. Under Joshua's leadership, the people of God are establishing God's nation, God's purposes, God's will. And it's Joshua. You read the book of Joshua from the very beginning. God is enabling him. From the very beginning, there's a reliance on God, and there are things that he's saying, God, I need your help in this. But then he's doing the battling, right? He's doing the marching. He's getting the ranks organized. He's getting the people and leading them where they need to be. It's a balance of working like it depends on you, but praying like it depends on God. This is still true today. Matthew 28:19.
Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Okay, now in the New Testament, we're not talking about a nation, right? We're not talking about a specific location. Jesus establishes the new covenant, and now we're talking about a kingdom in the hearts of people. And who is going to establish that kingdom? That kingdom's going to come through the church, through those who have received revelation of Jesus Christ. And now it's God working with the church, right? But it's carried out. There are things we are going to do, and there's enablement that comes from God. So this illustrates a partnership. We are partners with God. And we see this in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 9.
For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building.
Okay, we are God's fellow workers. Here's Paul. He's talking about him and Apollos and other pastors. And he's saying, we're all working in this together. We're co-laborers with God. So like our opening quote again, there are things, much of ministry, we need God to do the miraculous. But there is a lot of ministry that takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of practical application. And in the book of Joshua, you see this, they're relying on God until Ai. They had a partnership. Joshua seeking God until Ai. Up until this story here, they're asking God his opinion. They're seeking his direction, his strategy, and then acting on it. But in Ai, there was a shift, and the imbalance was that they began to rely on themselves. Let's read Joshua 7 and verse 3.
And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few.
Okay, so here Joshua, in the beginning, he sends men. Joshua says, go spy out the land, bring back the report. He never once in that, what the Bible tells us, inquired of God. Just sending his spies, they go, they come back. Hey, Joshua, you know what? We don't need to burden everybody. We don't need to inconvenience everyone. You know, this compared to Jericho, this city compared to the other things we've already done and accomplished, we've got this. This is easy stuff. There's nothing compared to our previous fights. These guys are going to be easy. But again, when they come back, give the report, they never inquire of God. They never get God involved. They never asked his opinion. The partnership, work like it all depends on you, pray like it all depends on God, that part didn't happen. See, God's plan is for a partnership. Okay, that's never going to change. We are always going to rely on the power of the Holy Ghost, the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Our confidence is always going to come through the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is never going to change. We need to, in everything we do, keep the partnership. John 15 and verse 5.
I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing.
Okay, here's that partnership that we're talking about. Jesus the vine, the life, the resurrection. We are the branches, the work in the earth. As we abide in him, we'll bear fruit. But apart from Jesus, we're just doing religious activity. Apart from Jesus, we're just spinning our wheels in ministry. If it's all on us and not the partnership, we can do nothing. It's not going to be effective. Not in the way we want. Partnership is with God. And this is important that we remember this. So this is the balance. We will always keep that partnership. Let's think secondly about relying on human strength. So there is a pull in us to lean on our own strength. Okay? And I could have filled this serious man with scriptures about leaning on your own strength. Okay, the Bible's constantly reminding us, rely on God. It's that partnership. But sometimes we lean on our own strength in pride, right? We can place our confidence in ourselves, in our talents, abilities, etc. And we're going to talk about that. And sometimes we rely on ourselves or human strength in ignorance. In other words, we just don't realize that's what we're doing because we operate in the natural. We function in the natural, and we can forget the supernatural dimension. In our scripture and in this story, it's a little bit of both. In pride, they didn't inquire of God because they already won some really good victories. And this is a reminder, guys, that, you know what? Not everything we do is going to be a win. That's for us. See, God gave them a number of wins, and then they thought it was them. Hey, we don't need God. Just send 2,000 or 3,000. It's going to be easy. No, we do need God in everything we do. But there was that pride at work. Then the Bible tells us at the beginning of the story, there was sin in the camp. It wasn't known. That was the ignorance part. That was the part they didn't realize. But let's think of some ways. What I'm focusing on is when we rely on human strength. So what does that look like for us? Number one, in doing a work for God, we can rely on human strength when we rely on our talent. That it's all based, I want you to catch that, it's all based on how talented you are. Okay, that doesn't mean, I've pastored guys that it's like, well, God will anoint it. Well, but like it all depends on you, pray like it depends on God. There's a balance. So we do need to put in the effort. We do need to strive for excellence, but it's not all that. It's not talent that changes people's lives. Right? Living in upstate New York, I saw some incredible plays. I saw some off-Broadway shows that were absolutely the talent, amazing. Every pitch was perfect. But I didn't want to get saved afterward. I didn't want to change my life afterward. Right? We're talking about something supernatural that goes beyond our talent. But there's some men, they think it's all talent. It's all based on how your performance is. It's all based on your charisma and all these different things. We've got this because we're talented. People will come hear our music because we're talented. People will come watch our plays because we're so talented. You're going to need more than talent to do a work for God. The second thing that we can fall in relying on our human strength is professionalism. Right? That's when we focus on the appeal of what we're doing, on the logistics of what we're doing. And again, that's not to say that you just throw stuff out there. However, I am absolutely into getting things done well. I'm into a good appeal and a professional look on our advertisements, on whatever it is we're doing. But you know what? That's not what it's all based on. There's a balance here. We can forget in professionalism about anointing. We can forget in a professionalism approach about the Holy Ghost. And in fact, I've seen some guys get so professional that they're embarrassed of those things. God help us, but we're not going to speak in tongues in service. God help us, but we're not going to have prayer before the concert, because what if a visitor comes in and sees us all with our heads bowed? Professionalism. We forget Jesus. I've seen outreaches, an entire outreach, Jesus was never there, never mentioned, wasn't invited. Right? In our text, it's professionalism. We're pros at this. We've got this. We don't need to burden everyone. Just send a few thousand. And they never ask God's opinion. They never invite him because they were pros at what they were doing. The final area we can rely on our own strength is selfishness. Where what we're doing is more about us than it is for the kingdom, for the church. You're doing it more for yourself and recognition than you are for God. You're doing it more for yourself than for souls, than for serving your congregation. Again, we're people. It would be great if everyone did everything with a pure, clean heart. But I'm talking about this imbalance where it is selfish. It's all about you. It's all about your name being mentioned. It's all about people knowing who you are. Right? Think about our story. Achan wasn't thinking about the kingdom. Achan is the one who had brought sin in the camp that God judges. And you know what's great about this story, and I may work a sermon on it, God narrows it down. God points out the exact issue. He points out to Joshua, why are you pouting about death? I know exactly who's in sin. God knows exactly what's going on in his church, and he'll make it known. But that's another sermon. But here's Achan. He's thinking about himself. He takes the things, the sacred things that belong to God, into his home. He wasn't thinking about the congregation. And he says it in his repentance. I saw it. I coveted it. I wanted it. I took it. And it impacted the nation or the congregation. It cost 36 men their lives. This is the danger of selfishness. It will cost you people. In your selfishness, it may cost you converts. It may cost you people helping you or wanting to work with you. It may cost you pillars in the church. Selfishness will destroy the work of God. And so there are consequences to having an imbalance towards ministry. These are the imbalance we're talking about when we rely on our strength. or when we lean on ourselves. Pastor Greg has often said, you can't fight spiritual battles in the natural. You can't. We're in a spiritual battle. And everything we do for God has a supernatural element. You're in a band, you need anointing. You're in drama, you need anointing. You're preaching an altar call, you need anointing. You're involved in a play, the play needs anointing. The haunted house needs anointing. You're running an outreach, we need God. You're witnessing one-on-one, you need an anointing. We never get away from this. We have to be conscious of the dangers that would try to bring an imbalance. So let's close. Let's think of in partnership with God. So our text is actually a reminder of how to have effective ministry. Right? Because at the end of the day, that is, I know, what we want. We want to be effective. So how do we do that? We need to partner with God. Again, in everything we do that is ministry, we must have the power of God at work in it. See, in the story, and you take the time to read it yourself, but after the imbalance, after they didn't seek God, and after they relied on their own strength, and after 36 men died, they get a revelation. We need to get back with God. We need to get back to the balance here, that we're going to do a lot of the work in the natural, but we need God to work. Joshua 7 and verse 6.
Then Joshua tore his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until evening, and the elders of Israel, and they put dust on their heads.
All right, this is what is healthy about opposition. This is what's healthy about losing sometimes, is that it causes you to get the focus back in order. And that's what Joshua did. Right? And here he is, he's pouting, God, why did you do this? Why did you bring us out here? He's frustrated. Okay, people have died, the people he's leading. He feels a responsibility for that, but he's in essence pouting to God, and God says, get up off of your face. There's a problem, and you know what? He deals with it. He does the hard work. Okay, they work that through. And then he's repenting. God, I'm sorry, I did this wrong. But now God gets involved, and this is the grace of God, the goodness of God. Gives him guidance, he gives him direction, and ultimately gives him the victory over Ai. Joshua chapter 8 details the victory over Ai, but what changed? They got God back involved. They got back in that partnership idea of the supernatural power of God at work in what they were doing. So, in everything we do, pray as though it's all depending on God, and work as though it's all depending on you. The partnership. This goes, we're right around the corner from the haunted house. You know, and every night before we practice, I am deliberately making an emphasis of our need for God. We're going to do our part. We're working hard. We're striving for excellence. You know what? But that's not what's going to save souls. We need God. We need God. If you're involved in that, if you're an actor, a preacher, you know, the soundtrack, the follow-up room, wherever area, we need God to get involved in that whole thing. This goes for Bible studies. We're going to have the meeting this afternoon at 5 o'clock for Bible studies. We need God in those Bible studies. We need a supernatural draw and an unlocking of fruitfulness that's going to come from these. Great opportunity to make contact, and we'll talk about that in the meeting, but we need God to anoint it in our regular outreach. We need an anointing. We need a dominion that wherever it is we go, wherever the soles of our feet tread, that we're changing the spiritual dynamics of that neighborhood, of that area. That when we go and the flyers we're handing out, that there would be a supernatural draw upon them. A supernatural pull to whatever it is we're doing. In our follow-up, we need anointing. We need discernment with people. We need revelation in how to work with them. In our church services, every service, we are asking God into that place. That's why we have opening prayer. We are saying, God, we invite you into this service. And I encourage you, pray for our church services. The church is a place where sinners come to get right with God. If we are not seeing that, that's a problem. We need to contend for that. We need to say, God, we invite you into this place in our fruitfulness. We need God. John 15, verse 5. Without you, we can do nothing. Jesus, we need your help in fruitfulness. In other words, we need to maintain that partnership. Amen. I'd like every head bowed for a moment, every eye closed. I really felt inspired on this message and really felt stirred about preaching it this morning. And just as heads are bowed, as eyes are closed, I want you to look at your ministries that you're involved with. I want you to look at your life, your approach, your mindset about the things you've been involved in for the kingdom. But maybe this morning as I'm ministering, God is pointing out areas that you have relied on your own strength, or areas that you've had the imbalance. It's that selfishness that we talked about. It's professionalism, it's talent, it's all in the natural. You finding yourself leaning on the natural. And this morning you say, you know what? I have been approaching this wrong. I want to get the balance. I want to partner with God this morning. If that's you, I want you to, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, I want you to lift your hand. I've been doing this on my own strength. Yep. I've been doing this on my own abilities. I've been doing this in the natural. Right now it changes. Yes. Hands are going. Yes. Amen. Right now, this morning, it changes. Then I want us to pray this morning together. And I want us to agree right now. We're going to invite God in. We're going to invite Him into the service this morning. We're going to invite Him into our haunted house this weekend that sinners are going to be converted. We're going to invite Him into our upcoming Bible study season. We're going to invite Him into our upcoming outreaches and events. We're going to, God, right now, we're making a decision to partner with you. So I want to lead you in a prayer. I want you to say these words. Say, Dear God in heaven, I repent of doubt and unbelief and relying on my own strength. I renounce pride. I close that door. My confidence comes from you in our victories, in fruitfulness, in breakthrough, in dominion and deliverance comes from you. Anoint me with the Holy Ghost. Anoint me with an anointing that breaks the yoke, that sets people free, not on my strength, not on my talent, not on my ability, but by your Spirit. Use my life. It's yours. In Jesus' name. Let's give God praise. Father God, right now,
yeah, I would say to you this morning, this is the dynamic that has been missing. For many of you, you have in yourselves great talent. This has come through generations. I have put this in you, even through your family and those around you that have inspired you. Many of you are musicians. Many of you have been involved in various aspects of ministry. And I have called out to you this morning to remember that I am the one that must do this.
Yes.
Or as I've given you talent, I have also reminded you of the fact that I am the God who can do anything. Yes. And when it comes to the souls of men and women, when it comes to the lost, it is I that draws men and women to repentance.
Yes.
And as you make your appeal to me, you call upon my name, then I will get involved as your talent is being expressed As I give you strategy and certain things to do, I lay those things upon your heart, but yet you must call upon my name and I will come down supernaturally and I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I say, call upon me and I will use you in a supernatural dimension, yes. Something that you have never seen before.
Yes, let it come to pass, Lord, right now. Let there be a revelation of this. In Jesus' name we thank you. Amen. Praise God. Let's open it up for questions this morning. Yeah, Isaac.
Is what we see in this story, is that the same as when Joshua encountered the angel and he says, are you with us or with them? Angel says, neither, but as the army of the Lord.
Yeah.
That same...
The partnership.
He's not connecting. He's like, are you on our side?
Right.
No, I'm on God's side. Yeah. Are you on my side?
Right. Right. And getting on board with God, being a partner with him.
So that was something that he kept getting off track on?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that that would be the case or not. But as we see in our story, though, the important thing is that whether it's something he kept getting off track on or not, he's able to get back on track. Exactly. Yeah, and that's the point. You know, because like I said, it would be great if we all did things with a pure heart all the time. But that's not the case. And sometimes, like I said, losing helps us get back on track. So God's gracious. He's faithful. But this is an appeal to be mindful, right? How is my approach in what we're doing? Yep. Good. Yep, Dave.
How can we reliably distinguish between internal monologue and the voice of God? There've been a lot of situations where, you know, I thought that's got to be God, right? Because it seems like such a good idea, but it actually, in hindsight, isn't.
Sure.
Or a situation where, you know, an idea jumps in your head in a moment, and you execute, and you're like, wow, that was God. That was amazing. It worked out so well.
Yeah.
How do you distinguish between that? What's the reliable measurement?
Sure. Well, you got to analyze, right? Some people never analyze, and they never get that clarity, was this God or wasn't this, mm-hmm. right? So the main thing is you've got to analyze and look, when it wasn't God, okay, why did I think it was?
Yeah.
What about it made me feel that it was? Clearly, it wasn't, you know, in whatever way. But then why was this God? You know, and what you develop is a file of discernment, mm-hmm. right? And there have been times where maybe I've acted on something, wasn't God, but at other times it was, but now I know that sensitivity. Mm-hmm. I have that discernment, okay. right? Discernment simply is, it literally means the ability to smell, right? Mm-hmm. You can discern natural gas. There's a smell to it, right? And it's unseen, it's not there, right? But they put that into it so that you can discern it. And so that's ultimately what discernment is you having the ability to know. So you've got to set up, make a file, build a file, look back on life, right? Look back on those instances, and you can develop a sense for when something is God. Yep. Yeah, David sent you.
It seems like all of us have a different tendency in one of those areas.
Sure.
You know, to rely on ourselves in some way or another. But how can you maintain that partnership with God without having to lose every time?
Sure.
To be reminded.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's just having an awareness, honestly, David, is I think I learned a big part of this in upstate New York, where there's very much a professional approach to a lot of life. And some can lean heavily on talent, ability, professionalism, the natural side of things. And so in that, though, is I really had to teach the balance of prayer, right? Getting God involved, that he's interested in helping in these things because it's going to win souls. Right? At the end of the day, is God really interested in a haunted house or a super fairy tale play? Right? Nobody's into saving souls. And we know at the end we're going to preach an altar call. And we know that we're going to contend for that dynamic. So by praying and keeping God involved along the way, right, you're building that partnership. by praying, God, inspire me, you know, and give me inspiration for outreaches, for opportunities, etc. Then he's working with you, giving you eyes. So in the story of Joshua, it's great because for Ai, God actually gives him a specific strategy, right? This is how you're going to defeat them. You're going to set up, you're going to send a few, but then you're going to set up an ambush, right? And God gives them this whole plan. That was God inspired. So God can give us that for taking people groups, for winning neighborhoods, for winning in outreach. He can give us strategy, but that's while in partnership. So prayer is key to this, is seeking God in whatever it is you're involved in. That's how I'd say is you can avoid making mistakes. Prayer would be key. Yeah. Isaac?
I'm just seeing another thing that's similar to me is that they have talent. They have the ability to win. They've done that before. They have reached out to God, but they were actually lacking in both of those areas. So I'm just looking at my life is, you know, if I do have talent, I still don't go all the way, and I know God can help me, and I pray a little bit, but I'm not doing both as much as I should. And that's, it seems like, they said, we'll just send a couple people, and they didn't talk to God at all. But then when they did talk to God and got the strategy, it was both working.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
So they weren't going hardcore with their talent and ability. They were still going halfway.
Yeah, I don't know that. You might be overthinking it some. It might be an application, but the point is they get back in partnership with God. That's what I'm focusing on. Yeah. So, yeah, getting back in partnership with God. Doing your part. Either way, they did what God said, right? They did their part. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep. Good. Any other questions? Yeah, Zach.
How do you determine, like you mentioned, somebody in the past or something wanted to move prayer because visitors would come in? We have changed things, however long the 180 has been going on in church, that we've been more mindful of how does this look to a visitor. But how do you determine what is important to keep and what is acceptable to move?
Definitely. Yeah, it's without changing the spiritual parts, right? So think about, for example, a lot of the things we've done with our welcoming group and connecting. Those are practical things. How can we help a visitor or a guest, you know, get to that sanctuary with comfort and ease, right? We have these different things. But what are we not sacrificing? We're not sacrificing or changing anything of our service.
Yeah.
We're not appealing to religious people in any way, right? We're still contending for the same things, biblical things. So that's the balance there, is that you're not going to remove it, you know, removing an altar call from a concert scene and just making it a worship Christian concert or whatever, or removing, you know, an altar call from a play or whatever it is we're doing. The focus is still evangelism. So how we help them get there might vary and change. But at its core, we're not changing the gospel. We're not changing what we do. We're not removing the Holy Spirit. You know, all those different things. Those are fundamentals that are unchanging.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you determine if you said you can't win spiritual battles in the natural, supernatural? How do you determine if something is just a practical, natural thing in life or if it's actually supernatural, or should you go about everything as it's supernatural? Because I don't want to, you know, be dramatic in certain little dumb decisions, you know, and like, this is the devil when it's just practical, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So definitely. So think about this. In our story, it wasn't the devil that made them lose, right? It wasn't the enemy that made them lose. It was their own sin, right? So in everything we do, again, we might not win every outreach. That's just life. And that can be for a million different reasons. I can't put that in a nice formula, you know, a good algorithm. Did you have souls saved? Yes or no? Yes. Okay, then did it, you know. So, but when you're praying and contending, like I said, everything we do is supernatural. You know, my wife and I were commenting yesterday, we were just in conversation about why do we keep losing our fruit? You know, and we're just kind of talking about this. And as she said, something I've been praying recently, you preached a sermon in Rochester, about God, make our lives a pleasing aroma, that people would be drawn to it, to our lives, you know, because sometimes you're doing follow-up, and you know, have you ever been like giving yourself 110%, you're working on all your people skills, and it's still just not enough? You're going to need something beyond that, right? You need more than talent, ability, people skills. You need an anointing, that sweet-smelling aroma that is God drawing them. Pastor Evangelist Fussell talked about how he first got saved and was always with that family, dinners, out with them, you know. He said, but God showed me how to be a family, what a family looks like, what a godly family looks like. That was just such a small, basic thing, but God used it. So, in applying it to ministry, people, whatever it is, there are things we're going to do that are very practical. And yeah, if you're being a jerk, that's not going to help anybody, right? Doesn't matter how spiritual you are, you're killing your message, right? The messenger's killing the message. So sometimes there is just some basic tweaks. But if you're doing all the things, dotting your I's, crossing your T's as far as in the natural, okay, where am I missing that spiritual here? What's the area that I'm missing that I need God to give me anointing in, breakthrough in? What is it that's hindering, you know? If you're running a big outreach, Gabe, one day, and there's just nothing but discord, everyone's in their place doing their part, but they all have a funky attitude and there's not unity, okay, that's a problem, right? Okay, there's something, a spirit of division here. We need to deal with this, right? So you learn how to work it through. But don't be afraid to over-spiritualize. I think as Americans, that's not our problem. I think we under-spiritualize things too often. And so, you know, don't be afraid that somehow you're going to be funky religious because you want to invite God into things, right? But there's that balance.
And if I do invite God into something that's not super spiritual, it's technically a practical thing, God can still help me in that area.
Absolutely, though, you know? Yeah. He wants to help us. Yep. Yeah.
So you're saying pray that God will make our lives also work on people's.
Absolutely. Yeah. See, there's your work and God's work, right? Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Any other questions? Good. Praise God. Well, what a wonderful presence of God this morning. And I'm believing God. I really sense, guys, that we are on the cusp of a breakthrough, a deposit of souls. And let's keep contending, pressing. God spoke to us this morning.